Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to see you all here. And I reiterate, as I said before, on a Saturday morning when people make plans to do other things, you're all here to learn about God's Word. And, of course, I'm encouraged by you willing to endure listening to me present it. I'll try my best. It's especially difficult following Josh and that excellent sermon he gave. I'm going to blame that one on Steve for ordering the lineup. As you know, we're looking at men not to imitate. Another man we're going to look at now is Eli. We see, if you turn to 1 Samuel, just a little background information on him. When he first enters this, as recorded in the scriptures, in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, verse 9, it says, "Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat of the doorpost." Eli was one of the priests. We also see in chapter 4, 17, that he was a judge. He judged over Israel. Verse 18. He was old and heavy, and he died and judged Israel 40 years. He was a priest and a judge. This is a man who is a leader, a priest, a servant of God, instructing others. Given authority over the nation of Israel. We see this is the time before the kings, when God appointed judges. Eli was one of those judges. This all has the appearance of a good man, a man to be respected. And perhaps in his youth that was the case. We don't know. The scriptures do not record his youth. But what we look into in 1 Samuel chapter 2, beginning in verse 12, says, "Now the sons of Eli were corrupt, and they did not know the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the kettle, cauldron, or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. These men also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, 'Give meat for the roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw.' And if the person giving the sacrifice, the man said to him, 'They should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires,' the servant would then answer him, 'No, but you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force.' Therefore, the sin of the young men, of the two priests, Eli's sons, was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord." And then we also look to verse 22. "Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all the Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So he said to them, 'Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's peoples transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill them." So far, we just see Eli's sons were wicked. It says they were corrupt. Later, we'll read, it says they are vile. You see here, they're involved in fornication. They were violating God's sacrifice, the laws, the how they were to take the meat for the sacrifice. They despised God, and in more so, they caused others to sin. They caused other men to abhor the Lord's sacrifice, the sacrifice he had commanded. How does this pertain to Eli? Let's continue to read in verse 27. "Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense and to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel my people? Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, Far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And also, if you move over to chapter 3 and verse 13, this is God speaking to Samuel concerning Eli. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house should not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. We see here that the sins of Eli's son were attributed to him. For when that first prophet came to him, it said, why do you kick at my sacrifice? Why do you yourselves make yourselves fat by taking the finest portions of the meat before it was offered to the Lord? It shows, all this shows that they despise God. That it shows greed, taking what was not theirs or not rightfully theirs. Why was this attributed to Eli? As we saw in verse 13. Because he did not restrain them. He did not rebuke them. He did not stop them. Perhaps, it's not recorded, perhaps he did not train them properly. That may be the case. However, we see here that these are adult men, free to make their own choices. So even if they were trained properly, they did not continue to know the Lord. They did not follow him. But still, Eli was at fault. Why is that? Because he allowed their actions to continue. He did not exercise authority as a father. We know nowadays we have somewhat limited, children grow up. They should still be, the father still has authority over them. But there may be limitations to what you can and can't do. This is the nation of Israel. They lived under a different law. We know in Deuteronomy 21, verse 18, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. We do not have record of this ever being performed, but certainly we see the case. This is one case where it should have been performed. That he spoke to them, and they did not heed his voice. They were vile and corrupt, and wicked in their dealings with God and causing others to sin. More so, he didn't just have authority over these men as a father. He had authority over these men as a priest and as a judge, as a leader of the people. We look to Deuteronomy 16, when God's giving the commandments to the people, to judges, to the leaders. Verse 16:19 says, you shall not pervert justice, you shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. He may not have taken a bribe, Eli, but he's shown partiality to these men who were wicked. They were his sons, and he did nothing to judge them, to punish them, and their actions continued. And we know the consequences. We're not going to turn to the scriptures, but in 1 Samuel, it said that they, as we read, there would be no atonement for sin for his family. There was a curse laid upon his descendants that they would all have short lives. They would be cut down in their prime. That they would be removed from the priesthood. It mentions that their men who were alive would beg for a priestly position for a morsel of food or a bit of silver. And we know that his two sons, these two that were spoken of, they were acting in such evil behavior, that they would die on the same day. And it doesn't mention of them being remorseful at all, that they continued in their actions, and they continued serving as priests and such until the day of their death, when they grabbed the Ark of the Covenant to use it as a weapon against the Philistines. God was not with them, and they died. And I think we see lots of application for us in our lives from Eli. And of course, the most obvious was, as a father, how we can train our children and conduct ourselves. But I think there's application for all of us, more so than I thought when I first looked at this. As I began to study, I see there's application for all of us. If you would turn to Proverbs 22:6. Here we'll begin. What application do we have as fathers and mothers? In chapter 22, verse 6 of the Proverbs. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We may not be able to control our children later in life, but while they're young, in their youth, you have the ability to impress upon them what is important. We're instructed to train them. We see also in Proverbs 19:18. Turn over the page. Chapter 19:18 of Proverbs. Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. Also in chapter 23, verse 13. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell, or Sheol, as your version may say. We also looked at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. Here, we're instructed to teach our children diligently, at all times, in all places, to love the Lord our God and to be obedient to Him. And also one final verse here, Ephesians chapter 6. Final verse for this particular topic. There's more. Ephesians 6, beginning of verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And all these things we see, diligent, constant training, discipline, teaching them of God and His commandments. We know we have the most impact on our children when they're young, when they're in our house, and we do have authority over them. But that time is short, and they grow fast and become men and women become their own men and women. They make their own decisions. So we make the best time available to us is to train them when they're young and instruct them, continue to instruct them even when they are older. We also see, if you look to Luke chapter 14, perhaps if Eli had trained his children properly, like I said, we don't know, because it's not recorded, perhaps they would not have strayed from following the Lord. Perhaps they were trained. But we know we have this example that do our best to be diligent in training them. But more so, in Luke chapter 14, whatever the outcome of our training, whatever the outcome of our children, the decisions they make later in life, chapter 14, verse 26. If anyone comes to me, to Jesus, and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. As we saw in Deuteronomy, in the training of children, what it said is to teach them to love your Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That God is always first, not your children, not your parents, your father, mother, or your wife. This applies to everyone. It's going through the relationships, some of the closest relationships we have here on earth, and that none of those are interfere with our relationship with God and what we must do. That applies to us all. More so, we look at, as I mentioned, I want to just talk about it in 1 Samuel 2:16. There's an example here that's skated over. It's not directly applicable to Eli, but applicable to us. You see that when they were violating sacrifice, it said that men would say, no, we should be doing this. They were rebuked by ordinary individual people. And it said that the Eli and Hophni and Phinehas would not listen. They did not heed those men. They said, no, we will take our meat by force. We also saw that when Eli spoke to his sons, he said, the report I have of you is not good. The other people were speaking of their actions, reporting it to those in authority. And I say we have that obligation as well, all of us, to report sin when we see it, to not allow it to continue. If you look to Matthew chapter 18, Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. If he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church, the assembly. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. We see here that whenever we see sin, at least particularly amongst brethren, amongst people who are supposed to be serving God, we're to take action. We're to try to correct it, to speak to these people, to rebuke them alone, then with others, getting more involved, working with the church, the assembly. An example to all of us. And especially so, we see from Eli an example to, or not to imitate, the example for our leaders. Those who are given positions of leadership, the given authority to our elders, to shepherds. We saw in Deuteronomy 16:19, to judges, those of authority are not to have partiality. We see also in Proverbs 18:5. Verse 5, chapter 18. It is not good to show partiality to the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. And there's other verses. I had one in Leviticus. Those of authority aren't to show partiality. They're to, looking verse 10, 1 Timothy chapter 5, they're not to allow it to continue, not to let sin to flourish. But in Timothy, speaking to Timothy, he's a preacher. But, you know, preachers have authority. Verse 20 of chapter 5 to Timothy. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all. The rest also may fear. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. That the authority leaders are to rebuke sin, to call it out, to stop it in front and presence of all. And to do so without partiality, to do so without prejudice. We see that Eli had that authority. As far as we know, he exercised it amongst the people. But when it came to his sons, he showed partiality. He showed prejudice. And he did nothing. And the Lord God said, you did call him out on it. You did nothing. You did not restrain them, and you allowed it to continue. And the consequences were laid upon him and on his sons. We see in Acts 20, verse 18, to our leaders, in verse 28, Paul had gathered the elders of Ephesus, and they said to them, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears." So he's calling himself an example. He's giving this warning to take action. To men may arise amongst themselves, people they may have called friends or family, but they're to take action. They're not to show partiality, not to show prejudice. They're to follow God first. We're to honor God above all. I think here we see in Eli, of course, an example not to follow, in that he showed partiality, he showed prejudice, he did not take action, he allowed sin to flourish. And that's something we must not allow as parents, fathers and mothers, as citizens, members of the church, and certainly as elders and shepherds. A lesson to all of us. Thank you.